listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 years ago this week, Terry Schindler Schiavo died. This was a very long fight just to give her the basic things of life. We're going to talk about that with Wesley Smith here in the last few minutes of this first hour of Issues, Etc. And Diane Rima, nationally syndicated radio host with National Public Radio, forced to stop attending fundraisers for a Right to Die group. Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. Also a book called Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. And he's author of a column for National Review Online called Human Exceptionalism. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Have we learned anything? We've been talking about Terry Schindler Schiavo for years and more than a decade now. Have we learned anything in the last 10 years since her death?
I think we've learned that people, I think what the Terry Schiavo case did was change the dynamic from, I didn't know this was happening, and by this I mean people being intentionally dehydrated to death because they have a significant cognitive disability, to, I support this happening or I don't support this happening. People either accept it and support the idea of dehydrating people to death or they don't. And what we found out in the struggle over the Terry Schiavo story is that quite a few people in this country, probably the majority, think it's perfectly acceptable to make somebody die slowly over 2 weeks because they have a serious brain injury. And, of course, this whole issue of dehydrating people is pushing us toward accepting lethal injections, because if you're going to kill people, why do it slowly rather than quickly? We also have found that people are increasingly accepting the idea that there's such a thing as a human non-person, meaning that somebody like Terry, who has lost significant capacities, should have a lesser moral value than a person like you or me, who would be considered a person because we have cognitive capacities. And you're now seeing arguments in the most notable medical and bioethics journals for killing people like Terry Schiavo for their organs, meaning rather than waiting for people to die to take their organs, if somebody is in that significantly a compromised situation, take their organs while they're still alive, which would, of course, cause their death. I hasten to add that is not happening right now in the hospitals, but it is certainly being advocated in many of the very highest places.
Let's talk a little bit about Diane Rima, nationally syndicated radio talk show host with National Public Radio. Her husband died from complications, I believe, or at least reported complications from Parkinson's.
Her husband committed suicide by self-starvation. And this is known in euthanasia advocacy as VSED, voluntary stop eating and drinking. Compassion and Choices, which is used to be called the Hemlock Society when it was more honestly named, actually has a booklet available to teach people how to kill themselves through self-starvation. And that's what he did because he had a very serious debilitating, I believe it was Parkinson's disease. And so Diane Rehm, the NPR host, or she's a host that is syndicated on NPR, started pushing for assisted suicide legalization, euthanasia legalization, attending fundraisers, I guess, for Compassion and Choices. And apparently the ombudsman told her, no, you can't do that because of supposed neutrality guidelines from NPR.
Now, it's presented by Rehm and by the other advocates for this as the choice between, well, he's either going to starve himself to death or be starved to death, or we can have lethal injection of some kind, or some other kind of medical physician-assisted suicide.
Yes,
are those the only two choices?
The idea that we might engage in suicide prevention or improving care capacities never crosses our mind. We are now so much, and particularly with the Brittany Maynard case as well, as you know, the young woman who had brain cancer who has become internationally celebrated because she committed suicide, named one of the most intriguing people of 2014 because she committed suicide. We're told basically that suicide is a necessity, and since it's a necessity, we have to decide whether to do it painfully or whether to do it quickly and with a doctor's assistance. It's a classic straw man argument, but that's where the media is today, Todd, and people who oppose the culture of death have to understand that media bias on this issue is like to a rocket scientist gravity. It's something you have to push through in order to get your message through.
So just feed the man, hydrate the man? Is it really as simple as that?
No, you have to. When somebody's – now, the supposed genius behind VSED, voluntary stop eating and drinking, is – first off, it's not like somebody jumping off a bridge, so the authorities probably don't know he's committing suicide. And second, because somebody has a right to refuse unwanted medical treatment, if somebody is forcing themselves to die by refusing food and water, doctors are not allowed to insert a feeding tube because of the right to refuse unwanted medical treatment. So it's looked upon as a kind of foolproof way to make sure you die if that's what you want. Now, whether or not that should be that way, I think we are allowed to stop people from hanging themselves, right? We are allowed to stop people from jumping off bridges. Why we're not allowed to stop people from starving and dehydrating themselves to death is an interesting question, but that is why this VSED is being pushed so hard by the euthanasia movement, until such time as the lethal injection and or assisted suicide by lethal prescription becomes legal.
With only 30 seconds here, Wesley, we talk about big public advocacy. The only thing keeping Diane Rehm from this public advocacy is a kind of a conflict of interest here. Where do you think the American public really is right now on this? 30 seconds, if you would.
Well, I think because we're being taught to feel instead of think, I think the polls show most people support legalizing assisted suicide. But polls are also elections, and so people thought Massachusetts would legalize it, and they didn't in 2012. The voters there, a liberal state, refused. The more people learn about assisted suicide, the less they like it. But the initial first impression, people say, oh, yeah, well, why not? There are a lot of reasons why not, and as you pointed out, we only had 30 seconds.
Wesley Smith, a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die, and Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. He is author of a column for National Review Online called Human Exceptionalism. You could read his recent column for First Things, The Great Terry Schindler-Shivo Divide, under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Wesley, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for talking to you again, Todd. Very good talking to you.
When we come back, Pastor David Peterson is going to join us for Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We've devoted that second hour to looking forward to Sunday morning on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 11th. According to the one-year lectionary, we'll be in John chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. We'll talk about the other propers of the day coming up for this Sunday morning, including tremendous Lenten hymn, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. We'll talk about the rejoicing of this Sunday in Lent with Pastor David Peterson right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis. Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fiske, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.